Owning a home in California has become more expensive and just ultimately more elusive than ever before. According to data published by Property Shark, California's homeownership rate, it ranks at the bottom. And as far as price goes, we are the most expensive by far when it comes to the lower 48. The average home in California now sells for around $750,000. Hawaii is the only state that's higher. So it's no wonder that a state program for first-time homebuyers has been bombarded with interest. But landing one of these coveted loans has proven difficult and didn't necessarily reach the people it was intended to help. That's why the state is relaunching the California Dream for All Down Payment Assistance Program, and there are some important changes for round two. Joining us is CalMatters reporter Felicia Mello. Felicia reports on California's economic divide. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's just start with the 101, the basics. What is the California Dream for All program?
Yeah, absolutely. So the state launched the California Dream for All program last year. And as you mentioned, it was created to really deal with the state's highly expensive, competitive housing market that has really locked out many first-time homebuyers from homeownership. And the idea was really to help first-time home buyers who may have the income to make monthly mortgage payments, but just haven't been able to save up the kind of high down payment you might need to buy an $800,000 home, say. So the state gives a first-time home buyer money for up to 20% of the home's purchase price. There is a cap of $150,000. And then the home buyer doesn't actually have to pay that money back until they sell the house. And then they also give the state a share of the appreciation in the home's value if the home does appreciate. So that's why it's called a shared appreciation loan, because the state is actually sharing in the appreciation of the house. And then in theory, the state can use the money it gets back to help future home buyers. So the state gave out almost $300 million this way in 2023, and it's getting ready to hand out another $250 million this spring.
What happens if, I mean, a lot of people keep their home and then they can pass it down in a trust. What happens if you don't sell the home?
Yeah, great question. So this is where the state is really assuming some risk in this program as well, right? They really only get paid when the home resells. So you could also theoretically have a situation where, you know, the home decreases in value. And in that situation, the state is also not, you know, making the money on the home. So this really is a program where the state is saying, you know, we're interested in opening up home ownership to groups that have historically been locked out. And we're actually willing to put some of our own skin in the game to make that happen.
I remember last time for round one, I mean, it was just kind of frenzied. It was a little crazy. Like that program, they used up all the money, I think, in less than 2 weeks. It was, I think, unsurprisingly quite popular. What happened exactly?
Yeah, so it actually ran out in 11 days. They had to put a pause on the program because they were running out of funds. And as you mentioned, it was a very, very popular program. The program was run on a first-come, first-served basis. So you had to be a first-time home buyer. You had to make 150% or less of the area median income. And, you know, once you qualified, basically these applications were approved on a first-come, first-served basis. And so what we heard from some realtors and brokers were that some people who got these loans were actually pretty far along in the home buying process because they had to move pretty quickly. So in some cases, they may have already been in contract on a home. And so this did
raise the
question.
Maybe already had the down payment in the bank already.
Exactly, exactly, right? You know, were these people who would have bought a home, whether they got help from this program or not? So the California Housing Finance Agency, which runs this program for the state, they say they don't have data to confirm those anecdotal reports, but they really do want to address at least the perception that this has been happening as they launch the program's next round.
Okay, so the next round is going to take place this spring. What are the big changes compared to last year?
So the major change is that there's going to be a lottery. So rather than first come, first serve, homebuyers, first of all, are going to have longer to prepare. So beginning now through April, they have about 4 months to go online on the CalHFA website, find a lender, get their pre-approval going, and prepare to submit their official application in April. Once they do that, beginning in early April, there will be a lottery. So they'll have a month to submit their applications. And then about 2,000 of the winners of that lottery will get vouchers that they can then use to buy a home within the next 60 days. So the idea, really, state officials say, is to give more time for those buyers who, you know, are really sitting there wondering if homeownership is something that's accessible to them, who find out about the program and really say, oh, this could actually make a difference. This could put us in the game. where we weren't necessarily before. The other thing that's going to change is a geographic emphasis. So what we saw in the first run was there was this geographic disparity in terms of who is getting these homes. So you have LA County that has about a quarter of the state's population, and only about 9% of loans actually went to homebuyers in that county. So what state officials are looking at is actually setting aside vouchers for specific geographic areas based on their share of the state's population. And I'll just add another big shift that's happening is an emphasis on first generation homebuyers. So, you know, part of the hope for this program on behalf of its supporters was that it would really disproportionately benefit certain communities of color who have had historically low homeownership rates because of racist redlining, because of a lack of generational wealth. And some of the loans in 2023 did go to these groups, like African-American and Latino Californians, but there's not necessarily evidence that those groups disproportionately benefited. And so one of the new things that the state is doing is actually saying, at least one person on your home buying team has to be a first generation home buyer. And so that's defined by somebody whose parents were not homeowners and they've also never owned a home. And so the idea there is to really open up homeownership to people who may have been frozen out in the past because of a lack of generational wealth.
Okay, so it seems like there were definitely some lessons learned when looking at the first round to the second round. A big change this year, we are facing a steep budget deficit. Is there any chance that this program gets rolled back?
Yeah, so there's always a chance. When we saw Governor Newsom put out his budget proposal this month, this program survived. And it survived at a time when a number of other housing programs were facing cuts, not only future budget cuts, but rollbacks of money that had already been appropriated. So for the California Dream for All program, so far so good. But as we know, over the course of the spring, there are going to be a lot more budget talks. The legislature will have a chance to weigh in. It's possible something might shift. But I know, you know, from speaking with officials at CalHAFA, they're feeling confident enough to really start planning the details of this rollout now.
And I know that eligibility, I mean, the criteria depends on what the median income is per county. That can vary greatly depending one county to the next. But you did have a good range in your reporting. Can you explain who is eligible, like what the threshold is for income and if credit scores actually matter?
Yeah, absolutely. So there has been a lowering of the income qualification ceiling. So it was originally 150% of the area median income last year. That's actually changing to 120% this year. So if you're in Sacramento County, that would be about $137,000 a year. It's going to be less if you're in, say, Fresno, hovering around more like $95,000. And then if you're in these, you know, very pricey areas in the Bay Area where people are making bigger incomes, that can go up to, you know, $200,000 plus in those areas. So it is a substantial range. And there's a tool that homebuyers can use to actually look up their AMI and see whether they would qualify or not.
You know, this program sounds awesome, but it's also can be complicated and daunting for people who didn't even think buying a home was even realistic or within their means in California. When you talk to realtors or just people who help people walk through the home buying process, I mean, are there challenges faced by first-time homebuyers, first-gen homebuyers, in understanding and applying for the program?
Absolutely. And I think some of the challenges are exactly what you said, either, you know, psychological or lack of information. I spoke with one realtor who said she had about a quarter of her clients were first-time homebuyers, and she really encouraged them to apply for the program last year. But she said, you know, this is an intimidating process for someone who is making probably the biggest financial investment that they'll ever make in their lives, right, for most regular folks. And it really was taking people a while to kind of get their hands around what really this program was. And in the end, nobody was able to apply in time to take advantage of the program. So I think that's partly why state officials are allowing for this longer rollout this time. They also say they're trying to some kind of creative and innovative outreach strategies to try and reach people, particularly in Southern California, who may not have been aware of the program before. So that includes things like putting flyers in laundromats, advertising on Spanish language radio, to really get the information about this program in front of as many people as possible.
Yeah, finally, you mentioned that the first round, it obviously didn't go as planned. There were some anecdotes that it maybe didn't go to people who necessarily needed it, but the data wasn't really there. So when it comes to the second round, ensuring that there's equity, ensuring that there's an equal distribution, are there measures in place to look back and ensure that the process is actually working as intended?
That's a great question. So I know CalHAFA is going to be looking at this very closely. And obviously, we reporters covering this are also going to be monitoring it closely. I know lawmakers came back in between the two rounds and really told the agency, we really want this first generation homebuyer emphasis to be in place. So that's something that we expect the legislature to be watching very closely as the program rolls out.
Felicia, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Felicia Mello is the California Divide reporter for CalMatters. Up next, the first California Senate debate was last night. We're going to analyze what each of the top four candidates had to say and if it moved the needle. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.